Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two momentous occasions that we celebrate this coming week. The first is my retirement from chiropractic. Well, it was momentous to me. That began a new chapter in my life. The other is probably much more momentous and worthy to be paid attention to. 498 years ago this coming Saturday, Luther posted his 95 theses on the door of the church at Wittenberg. That began a new chapter in the church. Today we celebrate Reformation Sunday and that earth-shaking occasion. We celebrate today the work and the life of Martin Luther and all of the reformers of his day. It was in 1517 that he posted that 95 thesis on that door. He didn't intend it to be a revolution. He didn't intend it to be anything more, actually, than some topics for debate. You see, back in those days, they didn't have Friday night football. They didn't have Friday night fights. They didn't have movies to go to. And so one of their forms of entertainment was to have debates. And it was also a way to educate people and each other. It was a university, after all. But this actually all began about 100 years before. A man by the name of John Wycliffe in England began questioning the church and its authority. Before the church had a chance to prosecute him and execute him, he died. The church was so upset with him when they finally completed the investigation that they dug his body up, they burned it, and scattered his ashes to the four winds. That's how upset they were with him and how resistant they were to change. A few decades later, a guy by the name of Huff also started to question the church in some of its teachings, and the church once again responded by burning him at the stake. You might wonder where all this comes from. How did Luther get to the point where he was? A little bit about his life so that you understand a little bit about what made him reach the conclusions that he did. Luther was raised in a very strict family and went to school in a very strict school. He saw Jesus as a stern judge who was ready to condemn any sin that he hadn't confessed. And so Luther struggled with his salvation, with his faith, and his relationship with God. At some point, one summer afternoon, he was caught in an open field in a thunderstorm. And apparently there was a lot of thunder and lightning because he promised God that if God would save him from this problem, he would become a monk, which he indeed did. Sometime later, he went through the schooling and became ordained. While he was at the monastery, he spent hours in the confessional booth checking off, trying to remember every possible sin that he had done that he could confess, trying to, in that way, earn his way into God's love and God's forgiveness. He prayed, he fasted, he did menial tasks, and yet none of those things seemed to absolve himself of the guilt of his sin that he was feeling. Sometime later, he became a professor of theology at the University of Wittenberg, and that allowed him the opportunity to really study the scriptures closely. And as he studied, he began to realize that the church had some problems with what it was teaching. And so he began to realize that there needed to be some change. And so that's the reason he posted his 95 theses on the door of the church. At this same time, Pope Leo X was trying to gather money so he could build St. Peter's Basilica and the Sistine Chapel. And so the church began to sell indulgences. This came to Luther when some of his parishioners refused to confess their sins before communion because they said, well, we're already forgiven. We purchased an indulgent, and therefore we have bought our way into God's favor. We have purchased God's forgiveness. Based on Luther's reading of the text of the Bible, he knew that this was not the Bible's teaching. And so it was then that he posted that 95 thesis on the door. To his surprise, the 95 thesis spread. The Gutenberg press was in use in those days, and copies were made and spread around the world, and finally came to the attention of the Pope. The Pope sent him a letter saying, you must recant or you will be excommunicated. Luther took the letter out with some of his students and burned it. And so the Pope called another gathering, another public gathering, and called upon Luther to recant his testimony, his teachings about particularly indulgences. Luther responded with these words, unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Holy Scripture, I cannot and will not recant, since it is neither safe nor advisable to do anything against conscience. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. If it hadn't been for Frederick of Saxony, who whisked him off to the Wartburg Castle, Luther would most certainly have been captured and executed. While he was there at that castle, Luther translated the New Testament into the German language so that people could read the Bible on their own. Up until that point, people could not read because the Bible was printed in Latin. And of course, none of the German people could speak Latin. Luther is most famous for the doctrine documents that he wrote and many of the songs that we sing, especially those we sing today. He produced the large catechism and the small catechism that most of you are familiar with. He wrote the Augsburg Confession and the small called articles, and as I said, many of the hymns that we sing today. On February 18th, 1546, Luther died at the age of 63. It's interesting that I believe you find that date on one of the banners back there. That was the day this congregation was formed. So how did the church get to that point where they were selling indulgences? How did they get to the point where they were not teaching what the Bible taught? If we look back on a very brief history of the church, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people who became Christians on that day. In 300 AD, Constantine became Roman Emperor, and he stopped all of the persecution of the Christians that had been going on up until that point. That took the pressure off of the church. That gave them the hope of teaching and preaching and building buildings that they did not have up until that point. And so they wrote the creeds. Christianity spread throughout the continent of Europe. At one point, there were three popes. About 1,070 or so, there was a great schism, a separation between the church as it was known then. The Catholic Church went one direction, and the Greek Orthodox Church went another direction. Unfortunately, worldly morals invaded the church. People prayed to the saints rather than to God. Good works were considered one of the ways to get to heaven. The Bible lost its authority. Traditions became more important than Bible directions. Christ was seen as a stern judge, not a loving Savior. And the church taught that people could earn God's forgiveness, they could earn his love through the good works and by offering money to the church. So to summarize, the church was born, it was persecuted, and in the process it grew. And when the stress was taken off from it, it tended to decay. It tended to get worse. It degraded, if you will. It allowed the ways of the world to take over, and it became ineffective. The church became distorted, twisted, and warped. You might say it was deformed. And it was that church into which Luther was born and grew up and became a priest. If you think about it, that sounds a little bit like the children of Israel. When they were in Egypt, things were tough, and their faith was strong, and they grew in numbers, and they held on to that faith that they had. They prayed to God. And then when Moses leads them through the Red Sea and they get into the wilderness, they begin to complain. The pressure was gone. The slave drivers were not there. And so they complained about the water and they complained about the food. And when they got to the promised land, they'd lost God completely by beginning to worship all the Baals. How much are we individually like the church and like those children of Israel? When things get tough, we turn to God. When we go to the hospital, we call the pastor and he comes and prays and brings God's presence. When things get better, we begin drifting away. And we begin to put our faith not in God, but in ourselves. You see, I don't ever recall in my entire life hearing of a family who calls up the pastor and says, "Pastor, come celebrate with us. We have a new child. We have a new grandchild. We got a new job. We got a promotion. We have a new car. We have a new house. Come celebrate with us. Let us praise God for that." That's just not the way that we work. So Luther looked at the church and said, "We need to do something different. We need to reorganize, to restructure, to transform, to make some changes." And since we are like that church, then we individually need to reform as well. We need to reorganize, to restructure, to transform, to change our lives. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Quoting Paul, Luther writes, "The new person is a new spiritual life that is created in our baptism. The new person emerges and arises daily as we live and grow before God in true faith and in good works." And Luther goes on to say, "The old Adam in us needs to be drowned daily by contrition and repentance, by which we overcome all evil desires." Our sinful nature needs to be done away with on a daily basis. We need to confess our sins, and that will help us to resist and overcome the desires that we have in the world temptations, so that we do not become deformed. We need that daily reformation or reformation. And so I ask you this. If you wrote your 95 thesis, what things would you include in your life that need to be reorganized or restructured or transformed or changed? As I look out here, I see people who've lived a long time. Some of you might say, "Well, how come it's taking so long? I've lived all these decades, and yet I'm still in need of reformation." You see, our personal reformation is not something that happens overnight. Luther's reformation of the church took a lot of time. It took the whole last half of his life. He died in 1546. In 1580, the Book of Concord was written. That's the book that explains the Lutheran doctrine and the documents that we as a church live by today. That book begins with these words: "This declaration is our faith, doctrine, and confession. By God's grace, with intrepid hearts, We are willing to appear before the judgment seat of Christ in this confession. By God's grace, we are able to stand before God on judgment day and say, I am innocent. But you can say that not because of anything that you have said or done. You haven't earned that on your own. It was earned by Christ on the cross, and then he arose again, so that when we die into his life and death, and we too can be raised again. And so with God's help and that daily reformation, you will then be able to resist the temptations of the world. And in the process, you will be able to start a reformation of your own in the world around you. Amen.